Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Manic Rambling Spiral. I'm Heather B. Armstrong.
And I'm John R. Bray.
This is sort of a behind-the-scenes episode. We're cramming in an episode on a day that we don't normally record because earlier this week, my daughter came down with hand, foot, and mouth disease, which is really as fun as it sounds.
And it sounds fun.
It's very fun. And my mother is coming over to my house. She'll be here. It gives us about 50 minutes to record. So we're cramming in what we can because you guys are so important to us.
Yes.
You are.
Absolutely.
You are. And it's important for John and I to catch up, and this is how we catch up.
Yes. It forces us to do it because otherwise, honestly, things are so busy that it probably would just keep getting pushed off.
It's cold where I'm recording. I'm recording now in my bedroom. I decided that Marlo's room was too echoey.
Ah, okay.
But it's cold down here, and so I have a jacket on, and I probably shouldn't be wearing this jacket because you can you hear it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
as long as you don't move, it's okay?
As long as I don't move as I talk. Ryan, you don't have to cut out that sound effect. Or maybe you can enhance the sound effect of my jacket.
And just insert it throughout randomly.
Kind of like me dancing. And Lita is upstairs. I'm going to admit this. Oh my God. But I'm not a member of the government and I don't work for the government. But maybe one day I will. But I'm going to go ahead and admit this. My friend did a jailbreak. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. On her phone.
She did it on my Amazon Fire thing.
Ooh, you can jailbreak those.
Mm-hmm. Huh. So Lita is upstairs. We'll just say it's a Saturday morning, and she's still in her pajamas, and she is watching iCarly episodes from 2009 and 2010, and she is blissfully happy, although you're going to probably hear her walking around, even though I told her to sit still. She's like running around.
It's all part of the ambiance. Honestly, it all just adds.
Yeah. Let's laugh about life.
Yeah, it's just, oh man. It's been a crazy week. Mm-hmm. I went to a wedding yesterday.
You went to a wedding. Okay, first of all,
a wedding on a Friday.
Back up for just a second. A wedding, back up. You said another crazy week. I don't know if you remember you saying, gosh, you know, you cursed us in one of the episodes, didn't you?
Yeah, I totally did. And I honestly, mm-hmm. for one, I should know better. But for another, just looking ahead through March is just insane. And I've known March was going to be insane before March was even here. Mm-hmm. And in part, just because of life things, because of work. But and maybe I mentioned this, but I had a concert that I went to last weekend and then a wedding this weekend. And then a wedding next weekend. And then Lexton turns 13 the day after the wedding. So it's like absolute insanity.
Oh, wait a minute. You're at the age where everybody's getting married. That's right. So you have to go to all of these wonderful ceremonies.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah, it's a good time. And then who has a wedding at 5:30? On a Friday.
I don't know anything about weddings. That's the thing. Like, when is a good time to get married?
Well, I just feel like my schedule is flexible enough that it doesn't really affect me. But most people who work until 5 or 6, even if they're local, they have to take time off work to go to a wedding. Mm-hmm. I guess I don't know a lot about weddings, having never had one. But I would think like a Saturday night or a Sunday brunch or something. I don't know. Friday kind of threw me off. I mean, you know, made the best of it. It was fine. Definitely played air guitar while wearing a wig. So it worked out.
While wearing a wig. What kind of wig?
It was a black wig. I think it was supposed to look very rock and roll, but it really looked more like, you know, the movie The Ring? There's like a sequel coming out now called Rings about the girl that crawls out of the TV. That's what it looked like.
So this was on St. Patrick's Day even. So
yes.
Was it raucous?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Did you get wasted?
Probably. There's no way that I would have actually done air guitar while wearing a wig completely sober. There's absolutely no way.
Was there a zoot suit involved?
Oh God. No. Thankfully, no. It was just a regular suit. So it was okay.
Okay.
You know, all the classic wedding songs and all the classic wedding songs that really shouldn't be classic wedding songs, but they are. And after a few drinks, you just dance. I'm just like, Yeah by Usher. I mean, just songs that don't really. Oh. Yeah.
I've only been to like two weddings, really, in my life.
I mean, I haven't been, actually, no, I've been to a pretty reasonable number. Well, both of my siblings are married, so I went to their weddings. And when Heather and I were together, she was the oldest of all of her cousins, so a ton of her cousins got married. So we were always going to those weddings, and yeah.
So you've been to a lot of weddings.
Oh, yeah, I know weddings. I front to back. I know what to expect, what to wear, what to bring, when to go, what to do. And then I have to go and buy the cards that are all tender and resist the urge to write, don't become a statistic.
No.
Yeah,
don't your friends want something funny from you, though? I would want something funny. I would not want something tender from anyone.
Well, it depends. So next weekend is a very good friend of mine, and that will be something funny. But yesterday was, I accompanied a friend to the wedding, so it was her family, her cousin, who I don't even know. So, yeah.
Also, yesterday was the anniversary of this podcast.
Oh, it was. Oh my God. We did launch it on.
You celebrated without even knowing.
And I celebrated in style, let me tell you.
The ring. Oh man, you should recreate that.
It was, there are definitely photos somewhere and probably video, and I just haven't seen them come through yet. And I'm a little afraid, because the unfortunate thing is that I always remember everything, always. I wish I didn't, but I do. And I definitely rocked out for at least a song and a half. And I'm reasonably sure I was the only one on the dance floor at that time.
Gotcha.
You know, it's...
My brother and sister are married, but I didn't get to go to the wedding because it happens inside the temple.
Hang on. Because you left the church, you weren't allowed to go?
No, they got married when I was still in the church. But if you haven't been through the temple, you can't go to the wedding. They have a reception, but there's no dancing at the reception. They have the reception usually, like when it comes to like the regular old Mormons who don't own, you know, swaths of property.
Right.
They have it in the cultural hall is what it's called. Basically the gym at the church.
Okay. So you can go to that.
I can go to that. And okay. It is like super, super buttoned up. There's a line. You got to shake hands.
Oh yeah. And it's dry,
they
right?
They have little sandwiches. Yeah. Mormons don't know how to party. They do know how to throw a funeral. I will tell you that.
It's a different kind of party.
Yeah.
Well, but anytime a wedding is like, this sounds horrible, but it's true. Dry weddings. What is the point? I mean, honestly,
<Not go.
laughs> like I've been to them and you know, there is technically dancing, but no one dances.
Do they say up front, this is a dry wedding, or do you just know?
It depends. The ones that I've been to, I would know in advance just because I know the people. I know that they don't drink or that they're from a very conservative family who doesn't drink. I mean, the wedding I'm going to next week is a Muslim wedding. And it's a dry wedding.
Oh, really?
I'm incredibly excited. I've been friends with him for almost a decade, and he's awesome, and Indian food is amazing, and I'm so pumped. I mean, it's going to be, they're massive, like 500-600 people.
Is he pretty devout?
No, that's what's funny, is that he identifies as Muslim because for him, it's as much cultural as it is religious. You know, he was raised Muslim, but he's... I wouldn't say he's atheist. He's probably more agnostic. Mm-hmm. But his fiance is fairly conservative Muslim. And she knows he's not and is okay with that. So we've got, you know, half of the wedding is very conservative. The other half, his family is pretty devout and they know he's not, but it's going to be an interesting dynamic, I think.
I'm reading a book. I should have said devout in Islam. I'm reading a book called The Muslim Next Door. It's a phenomenal read about Islam and the misconceptions and what the original religion started out as and meant how it was meant to be practiced. It's so good.
Interesting.
And I'll put a link to the book, but it's such a fascinating read and I'll be interested to hear how the wedding is.
I'm really, really, really excited. I mean, I've learned a lot from him about it, and his parents come back and he's really close to all of his family. And it's interesting to have him as a friend and to be surrounded, especially when Heather and I were together, by pretty staunchly Christian people who know that Islam is terrible. Terrible heathens, just awful people. And then,
do those Christians know how terrible Christianity is?
Yeah, of course not, because Christianity is perfect. You know, that's just how it goes. I actually went. Mm-hmm. I went and heard a guy speak who was Muslim and converted to Christianity, and he was speaking at a non-denominational church here. And it was actually, I have to try and find his name. I don't remember. He's written a couple of books. And it was actually really fascinating because I was kind of expecting to hear him kind of bash Islam and talk about why it's so terrible and that's why he left and why he converted. And it wasn't like that at all. It was very much, you know, this Islam didn't seem right to me. And here is why. And this is why I changed. But all of my family, they're still Muslim, and this is what they practice, and this is what they believe, and this is why. And it was really non-judgmental in an awesome way. I've just come to most times when I've been at a Christian function that addresses another religion, it's very demeaning. Mm-hmm. And it was not like that at all.
What's interesting is that I don't think that most Christians even know that in Islam, it's that they worship the same God as Christians.
Yes.
They worship the same God. Yes.
But through a slightly different path.
Yes.
Or, as Christians would say, the wrong path.
The original path, as set out by Muhammad, it's a beautiful religion that I'm reading about. It's a gorgeous, the humanity in the religion is a really beautiful thing to read about. It's one of the best books I've ever read, given to me again by Kelly Wickham, who introduced me to another book that changed my life. But yeah, I'm very fascinated right now about it all.
Yeah, I would love to read that. It sounds interesting. Well, I think a lot of those, like, I think the same thing about Christianity. Like, its core is beautiful, but people ruin it. Like, humanity <the people. laughs> just ruins it.
Yes, it's how it's interpreted and practiced. And yeah, I was talking to a fellow ex-Mormon the other day. Both of us have, you know, come through our bitterness years ago, and we were joking, and he was talking about one of his friends. Like, there's this disproportionate amount of Mormons who go atheist, me being one of them, because they, like I said, like the reward in heaven for most religions isn't as glorious as the reward that you get in Mormonism. And he was trying to explain it to a friend, and the friend was like, but no, you know, as a Baptist, when we die, we get to be angels. And he's like, yeah, in Mormonism, you know who are angels? Murderers, rapists, child molesters. They get to be angels.
Oh, man.
But in Mormonism, if you're really good and you do what you're supposed to do, you get to be a god. Yeah. So
that's pretty intense. That's really something to aspire to.
It is something to aspire to if you want to be a god and have all that responsibility.
Well, who doesn't? Come on. Can't believe you walked away from that.
Having downsized recently by 75% and being in a very small space with, you know, having gotten rid of all that stuff, like, I'm like, this is the life.
Yeah.
This is the life. Yes. It has made life so much better. My kids feel it. My kids love it. I mean, it's not that I still have responsibility, but you know where everything is. There isn't extraneous stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the I mean, it's the opposite of growing pains. It's like the shrinking pain is terrible to get rid of everything. Not even mm-hmm. that like you're attached to it, but just to deal with purging mm-hmm. sucks. I think I said this before you move. You realize how little you actually need.
Right. Especially like in my wardrobe. I'm like, wait a minute. I wear 4 shirts and that's it.
Yeah.
Like these 4 shirts are the only 4 shirts I wear. Why do I have a closet full of shirts?
Yep.
No.
But the girls are enjoying the more confined quarters.
They are. Especially Marlo, who has this great room. We got her a bigger bed. We graduated her from a twin bed to a full.
Oh yeah.
And she takes extra time in the morning to make her bed because she has like 7,000 pillows. Like very like an M and an A and 4 poop emoji pillows and 7 dogs, and she arranges them very neatly across the top of her bed every morning. She just loves the space of it. She, I don't know. My kids just fell into this house and they were like, oh, this is home.
That's awesome.
So though. It's been a good transition. I think, so Marlo had a cold sore on the top of her lip. I tweeted this. She was in the bathtub and she's like, my sore cold is hurting so bad. My sore cold. And Lita and I have been watching my so-called life. My sore cold life.
Yep.
Get this. Did you ever watch that series, My So-Called Life? Did we talk about this?
I've seen it. I never watched it through, though.
Okay. So My So-Called Life was unceremoniously yanked from television in the middle of the first season. They just canceled it. There was no... They didn't even have like an episode that wrapped up any sort of loose ends at all. It just stops. And I believe it was an ABC show, but MTV picked it up and played it again because there was this audience that was loved it so much. And then it kind of become a cult classic. So she and I, after her play was over, good God, her play.
10 days worth of it? That's a long play. Holy shit.
Yeah, she was exhausted. I'll tell you this story in just a second. So we finally get to watch the last couple episodes, and I think she was still exhausted from the 10-day run. And the episode ends, the last episode ends, and she's like, wait a minute, is that it? And I was like, yeah, that's it. And she turns over on the couch, and she's just lying there. And I think that she's like jokingly making this weird noise. And it's time for bed, and I'm poking her. I'm like, let's go, let's go, let's go. And she turns her face, and she's sobbing.
Really?
She's sobbing, and she's like... What do you mean that's the end? Like, what happens to Rayanne? I mean, she's not even talking. She's not even talking to Angela. And what happens between Angela and Jordan? Like, what happens to them? I will never know.
And they never, like, it never came back and got extended. No one ever picked it up to finish it.
No. That was before Netflix. That was before the glorious angelic Netflix would swoop in and complete something. It just ended.
Why?
And she was...
Do you know? I mean, that's...
It did not have good ratings. Wow. It did not have good ratings until, you know, the MTV audience was like, oh, wait a minute. This has been on ABC? Oh. And then people loved it.
Interesting.
But the time change, did that affect you guys at all?
No. And I don't know why. It usually does. It just took... It took Lexton a little longer to fall asleep, but other than that, it was like any other day, actually.
Well, fuck you.
Not quite so smooth for you, huh?
This time change normally is the better one for parents.
Yes.
I mean, as a kid growing up, you hate this one because you lose an hour. But as a parent, you kind of love it because it means you're that much closer to bedtime.
Exactly.
It just stole everyone's soul for a day.
All 3 of you?
So the night that it changes, so it changes at like 2 o'clock in the morning. Lita had done a matinee of her play, and then she did the final play. It was a Saturday night. And then after the play, there was a cast party, and she went home with her friend. And when she goes home with her friend, she doesn't sleep like she normally sleeps. So she must have been up who knows how late. And then we lost an hour. And yeah, so... Yeah, that night.
That's a bad way to enter into a time change.
It's a bad way. And that night, I'm putting That night I'd had a really, really, really bad day. I'm just going to put it like that. It was one of those days where you're like, and I actually had this thought, after everything was said and done, I sat down and I wanted to watch something completely numbing, like a show that I hated. And because I wanted to take my brain away from what had just happened during the day. And I put Marlo to bed and she starts to sob. And I'm like, what's going on? And she's just like, life is so hard. I have school and I have math and I have to practice piano and I have therapy and then I have to get up every morning. And so I sat with her for an extra, 15 minutes and sang songs and, made sure that she got off to sleep. And then I come upstairs and Lita is just wiped. Normally we stay up and watch a show and she is hysterically crying. She's just like, I'm so tired and I can't handle this. I can't handle life. I can't handle this. And I'm like, oh, holy shit. When all three of us sink up in this household,
oh, wow.
Nuclear, it is going to go nuclear, nuclear. Both of my kids were just inconsolable. I was like, everybody needs to go to sleep. Just get some sleep. We'll be better in the morning.
But that's the worst with kids when they're at that point where they're so tired that they can't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Like they've just hit that wall where they're completely exhausted to the point of they would rather cry or be angry or whatever than sleep. Oh God, I hate it. Mm-hmm. Oh man.
And they don't want to be told that they need to sleep. Lita's at an age where she's just like, I just want to go to bed. And it's like, dude, do it. Because everything coming out of your mouth sounds like me at 14 and it's not good.
Yeah.
You are catastrophizing. Everything's going to be okay. Just get some sleep.
Yeah. Lexton finally, like just in the last year, hit that point where he will say, I'm tired. I need to go to bed. But for a really long time, he would hold out. I mean, he would be like laying on the floor with his eyes half open, insisting he wasn't tired. And what I finally realized is he had this idea that if he admitted to being tired, he would have to go to bed. Like that's what would happen, whether he admitted it at 9 o'clock at night or 5. And I finally had to sit down with him and say, I'm tired, like all day. It's okay to be tired. You don't have to go to bed, but acknowledging it is a mature thing to do. And it would help me so that I know how you're feeling. And I think when he realized that he wasn't going to be immediately like sent to his room, he was okay to admit it. And now he will, if even if it's before bedtime, I'd be like, I'm really tired. I need to go to bed. I'm like, oh, thank God.
You're like, I'm tired all day.
All
day. Every day, Lexton. Do you understand the level of fatigue?
And it doesn't stop. It's like with Marlo, like, yeah, it is hard. It just gets worse. It just gets worse every year. So go to sleep and enjoy how bad it is right now.
the part where she was like, I have math.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh God, I know. I know you have math. Yeah. You have addition problems. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. I read this. I have the link for this. And we need to put that up too. Because Lexton hates math. Hates math. I mean, passionately hates math. His mom also hates math. Everybody hates math. Math is like the cool thing to hate. And it's an article about how when parents and teachers and grandparents admit openly and repeatedly that they hate math, that they were terrible at math, that it creates this math anxiety that is making kids bad at math. Like the anxiety is sabotaging their ability. And they've done studies on, how much this anxiety actually impacts grades for kids who understand it, but are so anxious because, well, both of my parents hate it. Maybe I'm bad at it. It was really interesting.
So I need to read this because I loved math. And I say that all the time to my kids. I'm like, I know that you're frustrated and it is difficult, but this is the best part of math. And I try to instill like this one little nugget. Math, you can check to see if you've got the answer correct.
Yes.
Like math works forward and backward.
And there's only one answer.
Yes. There's only, it's not subjective.
Yes.
So you could, if you just do the problem forward and then you do it backward, you can tell if you got it right or not.
Yeah.
And neither of, Well, I think maybe because Lita now doesn't even talk about her math homework, even though she has it every night. But like trying to instill like that little, like that's the best part of math is that you kind of have the answers built into the problem.
Yeah. And you can get partial credit if you show your work. I honestly, like I went through all the way up until maybe junior year thinking that I hated math. And then I just had to admit that I enjoy it. I don't choose to do it, but I'm good at it. And I like the satisfaction of working through a problem and that there's only one answer. I mean, compared to having to write a paper, which I enjoy, but you can write a paper about fucking anything, anything with any conclusion, as long as you back it up. But in math, it's one answer. Start to finish, same process, done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty nice.
Yeah. I mean, I graduated with an English major in high school. We had majors in high school, right? Yeah.
I didn't. Maybe.
I think, well, like the majority of the classes that I took were English based.
Okay.
But like one of my favorite classes in high school was Algebra 2.
Okay.
And I remember this only because like I got a perfect 100 A every, like I aced the entire year because every single problem you could do it front and backwards. And I loved being able to like go into that class knowing it's fine. I'm going to figure out everything. Like I don't even have to worry about this class because I do it forward and then do it backward and answer the question. I'm fucking awesome. Like right. This is easy.
You can check. Yeah. You can always check your work.
Mm-hmm.
But oh, you know, Lexton has started to bring these home and I fucking love them. He's bringing home logic puzzles.
Oh, those are good.
God, like he brought one home and he's like, well, I have math, I have this, I have a logic puzzle. I was like, you have a what? You need to get that out because we're going to do that. And I mean, they're these really complex, like 5 and 6 and 8 different categories that all overlap and they're so fucking great. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. I took one, he had a week to do it and I made a copy of it so that I could do it on my own.
Really?
And he would, oh my, yeah, I sat up at night and did this logic puzzle. I fucking love them.
So are they worded?
Yeah, they're worded and they're actually for part of what they're working on in science, but they're not science related, but it's the logical thinking that they're working on.
It's philosophy. They had, did you ever take philosophy in college?
Yes, and I loved it.
Oh yeah. Did you ever solve, there's a whole like semester about logic problems?
Yes.
Yeah, those were so good.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Just the way that you have to read the clues and make the connections. And I mean, I know that as I'm sitting there with him and we're doing them together, because I think if you've never done them, they're very intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly think you kind of have to get your brain in the right place to be able to process through it. But I know that as we're sitting there, he's looking at me like, what the hell is wrong with you? Why are you excited? I asked him if he would ask his teacher for more so that I can do them.
We are such nerds. This is turning into a nerd podcast. God,
but they're so fun.
Let's dissect the Lord of the Rings.
I will sit there. I'm like, yeah. Okay. So Janet has this cell phone, which means she has this car and this is her license plate. Yes. Now we know what car Tom has. It's, oh my God. On just talking about it now, I wish I had one. We could just do a whole episode of solving one live. It would be.
Yeah. Oh, well, God. Like the thrill of solving them, like is like, it's almost euphoric.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. I remember taking, you have to go to a testing center at BYU to take some of your tests because the classes are so big. By the way, if you have facial hair as a guy and you don't have a beard card, you can't go take the test at the testing center.
Is that one of the ways they enforce it?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
It sure is. So I would have friends who would put, they would have that stupid little patch of hair underneath their lip.
Oh.
God, just don't do that. They would put Band-Aids over it to pretend that they had cut themselves so they could keep it. So they could go take tests.
So they could keep the flavor patch?
Is that what it's called?
Oh, yeah. No, that's, that's not okay. Why does anybody?
No. Well, this was 1995. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I remember sitting in that testing center and there were only 4 problems that I had to solve. And it took me over 2.5 hours. But when I was done, like I knew I had gotten them right. And it was like, maybe this is what an orgasm feels like. I wouldn't know.
In the BYU testing center. Oh my God.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yeah, there is something, and maybe it is that satisfaction of solving it, but just knowing that that is the only, that mm-hmm. is the only option. There's no, maybe this is one of the answers. Like, I don't know. I love spending that much time on one thing. God, mm-hmm. I am a dork. Like, this is
dorky.
Big time. I mean, he does not like them. He likes when they're done. And
he's into science, though, isn't he?
He's into science. And that's what I'm trying to get him to see. Like, yeah, I know that this logic puzzle about people and cell phones and the cars that they drive is not really science. But the way you have to think about it and deduce and read information and that's the same brain that you use for science. And the analogy that I give him is like running or going to the gym. Like, you do it to work out those muscles, to strengthen the muscles. And you don't just go once, you have to go repeatedly. And it's kind of the same thing with your brain. Like, you need to keep doing these things so that your brain gets better at it.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't buy that. Not at all. It's getting better, but still, if he doesn't see this immediate connection to something that seems relevant to his life overall, then he doesn't see a point.
Do you sit down with him every night with homework?
Still? I used to have to, definitely through sixth grade and part of seventh grade, I would sit. And it wasn't even to help, but it was like, if I didn't sit, he would have 40 questions. If I sat, he would have one.
Mm.
But just to be there. But in the last, I would say since Christmas, actually, when he got back from break, it's been more, you know, he'll come home and he does his homework right after school. If he waits, it's a disaster. So he'll come home and unpack and just do all of his homework. And if he has a question about something, he'll bring it to me and ask and then sit back down and do his homework. And that has been amazing.
It's a nice transition, isn't it?
Oh my God. And with the exception of tests, with things like if I have to quiz him on vocabulary or whatever, you know, I will help with that. That way it's just not him having to reread the stuff, because I think there's benefit there.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh man, that was a great transition.
Let me ask you this. Do you feel when is his birthday?
His birthday is the 26th.
The 26th, which is next week.
Yes.
And he will be 13. Do you feel comfortable leaving him at home alone?
I do. Yeah. And
are we going to get in trouble for this conversation?
Well, I've heard so many different things about how they have to be a certain number of years old or this and that. But most of what it seems to come down to is like, there is an age, but that age is there to prevent people from being completely stupid. But it is also mm-hmm. kind of up to the parents to say, yeah, he's 2 years below the age, but he's really capable,
yeah.
You know, and he loves, I mean, I don't leave him home for hours, but if I need to run to the grocery store and he doesn't want to go, he just hangs out.
Yeah.
I don't really see any harm in that.
No, I think the age that they, at least legally, is sort of like, okay, don't be stupid. But I think it comes down to maturity.
Yes.
And yeah, and trust.
Yeah, and I think it's somewhere in the 12 to 14 range. I know it varies based on state.
Mm-hmm.
Do you leave Lita home alone? I mean, is she cool with that?
So look, yesterday, my mother, God bless my mother again. God bless that woman. She said, listen, I want to take the kids on Friday so that you can go be with your friends or, you know, have a night just alone or do whatever you want to do. And I was talking to Lita about it the day before, and she's like, but, you know, Gabby invited me to the mall. And so there's a couple of landmark occasions. She went to the mall with her friend for the first time.
Like just the two of them went to the mall to shop.
Aww. With money in a purse.
Yeah, that's a big moment.
Just the two of them. And I talked to Gabby's mother and we like concluded that it was going to be fine for them to wander around the mall by themselves and they get picked up at a certain time. And I mean, I did that all the time at her age. It was my favorite thing to do was to go to the mall with my friends. My mom would just drop us off. It was so fun. Why?
I don't.
It's so suburban.
I don't. Well, the town that I grew up in, our mall was, there was no reason to walk around there. I mean, it was like fashion bug.
We had several malls. Oh, it was like, which one do we go to? I was in Memphis, you know. It was the Oak Ridge Mall, the Mall of Memphis. God, what was the other one? The Raleigh Springs Mall. Any Memphis listeners out there are going to know. So I said, okay, well, here's the situation. Grandmommy has offered to take you for the night because I need to go spend some time with my friends because I need a break. So you have a choice. You can go to the mall with your friend and then come home and be by yourself until I get home, which will be around 11:30, or you can go with Grandmommy. And she's looking at me and she's blinking her eyes and she's like, I mean, can't you come home earlier than that? And I was like, Lita, you're 13. You handle all of your homework by yourself. You just did a play that ran for 10 straight nights. I think you'll be okay until 11:30 if you want to go to the mall. And she's like, okay, all right. That's good. That's good. Okay, fine. I'm going to go to the mall and then I'm going to come home and I'm going to like, I'll be fine. So she goes to the mall and I get home last night at about 11:20 and I walk in and I just check on her to make sure she's okay and she's asleep. And this morning I got up and I went in to check on her again. She was up and she's like, hey. And I said, how are you? She goes, did you at least check on me before, when you came home? And I was like, of course. And then I walked over to her and I put my hands on her face and I was like, my little baby's all grown up. You went to the mall and you stayed home by yourself. Like, this is huge. And I just wanted to be like, oh my God, like I can take a breath. Like my child can stay at home by herself. What? Ah, the threshold is just, oh man, it's amazing.
What did she do?
So good.
Do you know? Did she just watch TV?
She watched TV, yeah, and had some cookies, some Girl Scout cookies. It's Girl Scout cookie season, so.
I know, it's such a great season. Oh, man. That had to, even though she was probably nervous, or clearly was nervous, that had to have been awesome, to just have the house,
mm-hmm.
and she could watch whatever she wanted.
And not to have her sister, so yesterday, before school, she comes to me and she says, okay, so they're picking me up after school. Listen, Mom, I don't have any money. Can I borrow money and then I will do chores for you all weekend long and all next week? And Marlo is standing there and she goes, yeah, you can play with me all weekend and then you can make my bed for the rest of the week. And I'm like, no, you don't get that. That's not a negotiation tactic with you. You don't get to negotiate who gets to make your bed, Marlo.
I wish Marlo had money to lend her, because I would love to know how that negotiation went. That would be amazing.
She had the house to herself. She didn't have a younger sister demanding that they go play Barbies or, you know, she must have felt really good, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Big hurdle.
And she's crossed. More than capable. I think she just kind of needed that incentive.
Yeah, I've left them here. Like, I've gone to the grocery store many times and left them at home alone for 30, 45 minutes. But this was like the first occasion where she was going to be alone in the house late at night. And this morning she was fine.
She lived.
So she lived.
It will be interesting to see if she asks, like, to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously it will happen again, but I wonder if she enjoyed it enough.
Yeah.
A quiet night with Netflix and Girl Scout cookies actually sounds pretty great. I'm not gonna lie. I bought them. I have a couple.
What kind
boxes.
Of Girl Scout cookies are your favorite?
Oh, my favorite. I like Thin Mints if they're in the freezer. You gotta freeze them.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's. Oh man, they're so good. And then what are the shortbread ones? I can never remember the name of them.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Though I love those, and I like the Girl Scouts. I like to support them, but I don't need that many cookies. So usually what I've done in the past is just I'll get two boxes and give them $20 or something. But my niece was selling them this year, and they had the option to buy cookies, or you could buy cookies and donate. I don't remember the name of the organization, but it's an organization that delivers cookies to kids with cancer.
Oh, wow.
Seriously? Yeah, I'm going to buy like a dozen boxes and you guys can donate those. That'd be awesome. And then I get to support
donate
them.
Donate tons of sugar.
You know what? I mean, come on now.
I'm kidding. It's a joke, just because sugar is the big enemy now of the state. What are the ones with coconut on them?
That are like in a ring?
Yes.
Samoas? Yes.
Yeah, I hate coconut, but I love those cookies.
Really? Yeah, something about they're chewy, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I like chewy cookies, but for some reason I don't like those. And I love coconut, but I will eat them.
This is a weird.
If there's a box, I will eat them. I'm not going, I don't think there are any Girl Scout cookies that I won't eat. But I would not pick those over frozen Thin Mints or the shortbread cookies.
What about the ones with the peanut butter tagalongs?
Yeah, again, I'll eat them, but I don't pick them. Mm. It bugs me if you read, this is ridiculous. If you read the box, it says they have a chocolatey or chocolate flavored coating. And that always bothers me. Like, just make it chocolate. You don't have to make chocolate flavored, because then it's not actually chocolate, which is.
Do they just say it's chocolate flavored?
I think so. I actually have a box downstairs. I'll have to check. But I think it's something like chocolate flavored or chocolatey coating, something like that. I'm almost positive. Yeah. So if someone out there is really well aware of the Girl Scout cookie line and knows I'm lying, I'm sorry. But I think that's what it is.
I haven't read the boxes.
You just devoured the
cookies.
I just
got them to support. No, I got them. I don't eat them because most of them have dairy in them.
Yes, true.
Yeah. That's the one thing that I really can't ever eat again, because I realize it affects me so badly. And because dairy, if you're going to be an animal activist, dairy is kind of a big deal.
Like worse than eating meat.
It's what happens to cows in order to provide the amount of dairy that we consume is, it's just unconscionable what they do to cows. Yeah.
God, I love cheese though.
like rape the cow. I need it. My cheese.
Oh, what about like sheep though? Do they treat the sheep better?
Do they treat the sheep like sheep?
Sheep cheese, goat cheese, sheep cheese.
Sheep cheese and goat cheese. There's not the it's not that. It's like the milk. Mm. The amount of milk that we consume, not cheese necessarily,
okay, so
but the amount of milk.
More
it's the
than
volume
anything.
Of
okay.
milk. And in order to produce the volume of milk that Americans consume, there it's a horrific, horrific industry. Sorry to get on that.
So that was a fun transition.
It was. So I bought all of these cookies to help my friend's daughter, and I brought them home. And normally my kids don't eat them. They just I usually just give them away. But my kids attacked those boxes, man. And then I turned into a fucking mom, because I went.
Oh, God.
One of the things that they love about this house, the kitchen is tiny, and there's this drawer underneath the countertop where we eat. There is no dining room table. There isn't room for one. We eat at the countertop.
But you all eat together, so it's fine.
We all eat together. There's bar stools. And underneath that counter is this giant drawer, which is probably built for pots and pans, but it's their drawer. Like, all of the food that they eat is there, like Goldfish crackers and SpaghettiOs and stuff like that. I went in to the drawer the other day, and there are two empty fucking boxes of Girl Scout cookies. And I pull them out, and I look at Lita, and I said, "Did you just put an empty box of cookies back in this drawer?" And she looked at me all puzzled, and I was like, "That's unacceptable. You do not put an empty container back in the fridge or in the fucking drawer." That is unacceptable behavior.
But she, like, to her, it just, what? Yeah, so I put it back.
She was like, should I have thrown it away? She asked that. Should I have thrown it away? I'm like, yes.
What else would you?
It was neatly tucked back in. My kids are really good about putting their dishes in the dishwasher and putting food back. And I think to her, it was just like, I'm putting it back where it goes.
Right. No, Lexton will leave like one thing in the bag or the box, and then it's not empty. So he doesn't have to put it away.
That trick. I pulled that trick all the time.
The trash is like 10 feet away from where you're putting the bag. You don't need to leave one Cheeto.
No. Why? Like, I used to pour myself like orange juice and leave just a tiny little bit in the bottom just so I could stick it back into the refrigerator. Why?
Yeah, I mean,
what is the logic?
There is no logic. There's absolutely no logic to it at all. It seems like it's extra work, right? You finish it and you have to throw it out. But really, you're putting it back somewhere anyway.
I think maybe mine had to do with sort of like sibling dynamics, thinking like, okay, I just drank a lot of orange juice. If I stick it back in, maybe she'll blame my brother and not me.
or maybe your brother will go to have some orange juice and see the container and think, oh, good, there's orange juice. And then there's not.
Yeah. That. We would have pulled that on each other for sure. There was that dynamic.
Oh, that's kind of passive aggressive.
Oh, yeah. But that's what siblings do.
That's true.
That's built into the DNA of being a sibling.
Yeah.
Passive aggression.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I was a middle child, so I get that.
I was the youngest child, always trying to make up for the fact that I was the youngest child.
I think anytime you have siblings, it doesn't really matter where you fall. There's always a challenge. Like, you always feel like you're facing some uphill battle. Youngest, oldest, middle. I mean, there's always something.
Always. We've had this a little bit before where my sister was the pretty one and my brother was the funny one. So I was like, I'll just be the best Mormon one.
Yeah, that was it. That was a good approach.
Yeah.
Dan Quayle was your man,
right? It worked. It totally worked. Do what?
Dan Quayle was your man, right? Isn't that who it was?
Dan Quayle was my man in Washington.
Yep.
Did I tell you that my nephew left on his mission?
No, I don't think so. You mentioned buying him some stuff that he needed, like your whole family chipping in.
Yes, and I bought him a camera and a razor for his face and like an electric razor. They had a homecoming, or excuse me, they had a farewell at his church last Sunday. I didn't go to that. I just went to they have an open house at their house where they have all this food and everybody sits around and talks. And I showed up a little bit, you know, after it had started, and I walk in to say hello to everyone, and my sister very quickly went over to the countertop and removed the invitation to the inauguration off of the countertop so that I wouldn't see it. So now I know how my sister voted. That has not been a topic of conversation in my family at all.
But are you surprised?
I am not.
Yeah. I mean, you'd like to think it wasn't like that, but...
I wanted to think, and which is a bad allyship on my part, because I really, 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 really wanted to think that when it came down to it, that she wouldn't put a check mark next to that name. But, yeah.
She did, and she just quietly removed it, like knew that you saw that she removed it. So obviously you knew who she voted for.
Mm-hmm. We don't talk about it.
Wow. It's just an understood thing. Like, you don't bring it up, she doesn't bring it up.
Right. It will erupt. It would erupt into a family-ending nuclear explosion.
Which is probably not what you need at a farewell for a mission trip.
Right. I wanted to, you know, send this kid off to convert innocent people to a cult. Shit. I'm kidding. Sort of. People are going to get mad.
Halfway.
No, I'm really excited for him. He's going to do great. He's going to learn so much about himself and about life. And
he's excited about it. That's what it's about.
Right? Oh, yeah. He's super excited. He's going to San Antonio, and they've got a giant Texas flag hanging outside of their house in Utah. Oh.
And he so he already left. He is now gone.
He's at the MTC, the Missionary Training Center, as we speak. He is there for another 2 or 3 weeks where he's learning everything that he has to teach and do and et cetera, et cetera.
And that's in Utah.
This is in Utah. And my brother and my entire family was there. And my brother was in a really good mood and was sort of holding court. And they were, you know, there are about 40 of us just sitting around listening to him tell stories. And I said, you have to tell that one story from your mission. And I just have to tell the story very quickly here at the end. And we rambled really quite seriously all over this episode.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Lots of tangents.
It's going to be an interesting coming up with a title and a photo.
Yes. Yes, it will.
So my brother went to Montreal, Quebec, and every first Sunday of the month, it's called Fast and Testimony Meeting. So everybody is supposed to fast the first Sunday of every month for three meals. And then they come to church, and a normal meeting where people would give up and give talks and whatnot, that meeting is now sort of an open mic situation where anyone who feels the Spirit and wants to stand up and bear their testimony of the truth of the gospel is welcome to do so.
So you have to hear people who haven't eaten all day talk?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, God.
And like talk about their, you know, how they believe that the church is true and that this is how they feel about the gospel and they are so thankful for their family and the Lord, et cetera, you know, that type of thing. So my brother is sitting in this very eclectic ward in Quebec, and this investigator, meaning that someone who is not yet Mormon, gets up and he actually goes up to the pulpit. Usually you can go to the pulpit or you can pass the mic around, but he actually went up to the pulpit and he's standing there and he's like, so I did what everyone told me to do and I got on my knees and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, please tell me if this is the one and true church of God. And all of a sudden I heard a giant voice say, shut up.
Oh my God, are you kidding me? Oh man.
No. Oh, I was like, that's the best testimony I've ever heard.
And was that it? Like then he was done?
Yeah.
Oh.
And
God.
Apparently he converted even despite that experience. So that's a powerful experience to be told shut up by the Lord.
And then keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's a determined man.
That's one way to put it. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we started talking about religion a little bit, and we ended talking about religion.
We planned that.
Guess what? Guess who just arrived? My mother. We hit this right at the mark.
Perfect.
I can hear my dog running around upstairs. So, okay.
So if you want to get a hold of us, maybe you've got an awesome wedding story, like air guitar with a horror movie wig, or something related to religion, or Girl Scout cookies, or any one of the 37 things we discussed. You can always find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Manic Ramblings. Or you can email us at stories@manicramblings.com.
Yes, we'd love to hear from you. And you can probably hear my dog screaming upstairs. until next time,
shut up.
Many thanks to Tan Lines for the soundtrack, to Lisa Congdon for the cover art, and to Ryan Coomer for his expertise with the editing stuff.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.